Job chapter 36, commencing our reading at verse 1. Let us hear God's word. Elihu also proceeded and said, "Suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. I will fetch my knowledge from afar, and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. For truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and be held in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed them out of the street into a broad place, where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold in thee, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night, when people are cut off in their place. Take heed, regard not iniquity, for this hast thou chosen rather than affliction. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 23. And knowing that the Lord will bless this, the public reading of his word, for his own name's sake. If you could please. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has taken part thus far. We thank thee for a real sense of thy presence. And we ask of thee that thou wilt intensify thy presence. We ask of thee that you'll empty us now of self and of sin, and fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Pray that you'll do that precious divine work that only thou can do. Speak the word only, and we would be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. Hide us behind the cross, and that none would be seen, save Jesus only. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Job chapter 36 and the verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Because there is wrath, Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God, of God's eternal punishment, and of his holy displeasure against sin and the wicked. Christ himself continually warned in his ministry of wrath to come. The text before us is a solemn declaration, as all scripture is. For it doesn't say there might be wrath. It doesn't say there could be wrath or should be wrath. No, because there is wrath. The text solemnly declares there is wrath and stands as a warning to many in this world. The words of Elihu in this text stand forth as a great warning to the ungodly and the unrighteous of our present generation. For what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? A word of caution to the unbeliever, to the ungenerate, to the unregenerate, to consider his or her present condition, and to escape from sudden and everlasting destruction. You see, no matter how much you seek to evade the sentence, or to erase the reality from your mind, or to shut your ears off to the truth, it does not remove the fact there is wrath. Wrath that is divine wrath, which is necessary because of the holiness of God and the due punishment of sin. That is wrath which is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. His justice to punish, namely wrath to come. God is perfectly holy. And because he is perfectly holy, it is absolutely necessary that there is wrath. Because the holiness of God requires the punishment of sin. Therefore, there is wrath. Wrath to come in another world, and all sins are deserving of, and which comes and abides on all impenitent, unbelieving, unrepenting persons, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And so we have clearly before us God's wrath. God's wrath. An everlasting separation from God. And if men do not turn from their wicked course of life to the Lord to live to him and according to his will, unless men are converted and repent of their sin, and there is a transformation in his or her heart and life, God's arrows of wrath will be leveled against the wicked. And therefore, let us consider firstly the reality of God's wrath. The reality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath. God's wrath. His eternal punishment of the damned. is a terrible reality that men need to be faced with in this present day and generation. This fact that the popular God, the popular God of popular so-called Christianity, is not the God of the Bible. You see, the social God has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, and no arm to punish the ungodly. Yet the God of the Bible had fire and brimstone for Sodom and Gomorrah. The God of the Bible dashed to pieces sinning nations like a potter's vessel. However, the modern God, according to the social gospel today, has removed the sword of divine justice and sits as an indulgent weakling. His arm that used to visit vengeance upon unrepentant sinners now hangs nervously and paralyzed. This is not the God of the Bible. And I refuse to worship such a God. For such a God, where there is no wrath, is a God of the creation of men. The imagination of men's hearts and their own wishes and folly, but not the God of this book, for there is but one only, the living and true God, the one who is self-existent, the one who is absolutely independent, the sole support, proprietor, and sovereign disposer of all his creatures. You see, the true God is unchangeable. For when the lion roars, the beasts of the field keep silence. When Jehovah speaks, let the kings of the earth keep silence. Because there is wrath. Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject him will remain forever restless. For I am the Lord, I change not. Jehovah, a name peculiar to the Most High, who here speaks and is expressive of his being, of his self-existence, of his purity and simplicity, of his immensity and infinity, and of his eternity and his sovereignty. You see, God is the same in the Old Testament day and in the Gospel day, and will be so to his people forever. For I am Jehovah, I change not, because there is wrath. It is he and he alone who will put an end to unbelief. He who hurled the oceans over men and women, drowning a guilty world. He who reduced Sodom to ashes. He who destroyed Jericho with its inhabitants. He who gave Jerusalem to the Roman armies. He is the one who says, I am Jehovah, I change not. And what he has done before, he can and will do again, because there is wrath. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It is a reality whether willing to face it or not. It is a fact settled in the heavens that the God of the Bible has both mercy and justice. At Mount Sinai of old, he set forth his justice. At Calvary of old, he is shown to be both just and merciful. A God that is all mercy. A God that is all mercy and not just is an idol of the evil imaginations of modern man. And so such a God is not the God of the Bible. And God pity the mark on society today. For the mark on society today is the unknown God. Justice and mercy are the pillars of God's throne. And the day that you take away justice and the punishment of sin is the day that you've denied the true and living God and make your God out of the figment of your own imagination. But such a created God is not the God of the Bible. He is not the God of all people. He is not the God of Calvary. He is not the God of all heaven and of all earth. There is a hell. Because there is wrath. Because there is wrath. And these, the ungodly, the unbelieving, the unrepenting, the unrighteous, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, because there is wrath. Let us consider secondly the warning of God's wrath. We've seen a little of the reality of God's wrath, but there is the warning of God's wrath. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. God's solemn warning to all sinners, all kind of sinners, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke, which is the stroke of his hand, and is sometimes given suddenly and in an awful manner in wrath and vengeance. Therefore, beware lest he take thee away suddenly with his stroke, and be so wise as to make thy peace with him quickly, and flee from the wrath to come. Such a warning given to us. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Oh, there is a hell. Be sure of that. Do not hide your face as an ostrich in the sand, and throw the Bible out the window, and Christ and the gospel with it, and seek to live as if the modern mind had been able to undo the revelation of God's wrath. Oh, hear me. Oh, hear me, there is a hell where there is everlasting fire, where there will be constant, continual, eternal weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there is no light, no, not even a glimmer, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Although in our present generation, fast-growing universalism arises in society, that men are all alike, saint and sinner. Saint and sinner will all turn up in heaven at last, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Although soft sentimentalism tells us that the murderer and the murdered, the seducer and the seduced, the hater and the hated, the thief and his victim will all find heaven at last. Though all of that, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Though popular theology, if you can even call it theology, claims that Cain and Abel, David and Herod, Jezebel and Elijah, Judas and Peter, Nero and Paul, all come out of the same side of the judgment throne, still because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Oh, what a strange heaven we are to have, after all, if we are to believe what comes out of some church circles today. The hypocrites and the whoremongers will be there. Drunkards will be there. The backbiters will be there, the blasphemers will be there, all of them there together in the undefiled building of God. Well, if reason hadn't altogether left us, such thinking is blasphemy. 1 Corinthians 6 and the verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For without a righteousness, there will be no entering into eternal bliss and everlasting happiness. And this righteousness must exceed the righteousness of what sinful men and women seek to work out, and which is none other than the righteousness of Christ. Men and women, you need to ponder in your soul. You need to ponder the truth that the sin that is rooted in your soul, you will not throw off as you do your coat upon a hanger. Sin is a part of your being. Sin is a part of your being, and sin will live long after sun and moon have passed away. And sin, if not checked in this life, will ruin you in the life to come, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. And so, thirdly, there is the finality of God's wrath. We've seen briefly the reality, the warning, but there is the finality of God's wrath. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There comes a time when a man or woman is unable to be saved. Because once God's wrath falls upon an individual, nothing whatsoever can buy the soul back. And so we learn the finality of God's wrath. For once a man is lost in hell forever, it is too late. Not even the blood of Christ is able to recover that soul. Listen, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. A time when you cannot be saved, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. When? Then, when you are no more in this life, when you are no more in this life and entered into death and eternity, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It leaves men beyond hope, no longer in a day of opportunity. And so if you are ever going to be delivered from God's wrath, it must be before it is too late. For hell, friend, is forever. And if you reject Jesus Christ and his finished work in this life, you will not receive him in the life to come. Abner died as a fool dieth, nothing can purchase his soul back. Leaves men beyond hope. Felix trembled. He said, I will call for thee in a more convenient season. And yet we do not read of him ever calling upon God. It leaves men beyond hope. The finality of God's wrath. And yet the Lord himself gives you warning. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the divine indignation, to flee from the punishment that will come upon the guilty? Why not therefore flee from the wrath to come this very moment? When you're in a time, a day of opportunity. Therefore, hasten to the place of deliverance. Hasten to Calvary's cross. Forsake your sin and flee to Christ, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. It is then that men are beyond hope. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Oh, God has given you this warning that you would heed it and come to Christ, that you would embrace His grace as it's freely offered to you in the gospel, and therefore cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Saved from wrath through Him. For it is the blood of Jesus Christ that keeps the sinner from going to everlasting fire. The finished work of Calvary's cross. Because the blood of Christ is precious. Precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. Not some sin, but all sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, there may be some sins of which a man cannot speak. But there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away here and now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Through Jesus' blood, there is not a spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle, nor any such thing remains. That is, sins of deep dye, and which have such a place in the hearts of men, and which have such a place upon the conscience, and nothing can remove them but the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that makes us clean. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. His own blood. His own blood. It is the blood of Christ that pacifies God and purifies the consciences of men. It speaks to God in behalf of sinners. It pleads not for vengeance as the blood of Abel did on him who shed it, but for mercy. And so to sinners in the name of God, it speaks pardon to their sins, peace to their souls, and bespeaks their strictest obedience and highest love and thankfulness. Is not this precious? The Holy Ghost calls it precious. Precious blood. Precious blood. For it makes us clean, removing the stains of iniquity and permitting us to stand accepted in the Beloved. Notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God, it is precious in its preserving power. For the child of God is safe from wrath, safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood, because it's God seeing the blood. It's God seeing the blood that is the real reason for us being spared. Therefore it is precious. Unspeakably precious. Because it was the Father that let out upon His soul a sense of His afflicting wrath against sin. Not His own sin, as we saw this morning, because He had none. The sinless substitute. And yet, sin was upon Him because He came to save a people from their sins. punished for sins. Not his own he died to atone. And so the Father lets out upon his own dear Son's soul. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. And so the Father, giving commission to the sword of his justice to awake against his own dear Son, when he had voluntarily made his soul an offering for sin, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief, and he was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was born in that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross. In his being buried and continuing under the power of death for a time, in his rising again from the dead on the third day, and his ascending up into heaven, and in his sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And so the end and design of all this, that we might be declared the righteousness of God in him. That we might be declared the righteousness of God in him. Might be justified. Declared righteous. Just as if we never sinned. Freely, without a cause, freely by his grace, through the redemption which is found in Christ Jesus. You can be saved. You can be saved this night. But there's a time when you can't. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Therefore, come to Christ now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The gospel never says, come tomorrow. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee.
Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God and embrace His grace as it's freely offered to you, even right now. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord, conscious that we're still in the Lord's presence. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask of Thee that You'll take that which has been of Thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in Thy sight. We ask of Thee and that Thou wilt apply Thy truth savingly to hearts even this night. And as sinners have come into the house of God unjust, they will go home justified. Lord, do that which only Thou can do. Give deciding grace, and we will be careful to give Thee all the praise and glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it, and for His eternal glory. Amen.